From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Supreme Court just made millions of women second-class citizens. That's a quote from House Minority Leader Ilana Rubel after the court overturned Roe v. Wade this morning. The Democrat from Boise went on to say the court had reversed 50 years of precedent and has, quote, eviscerated the fundamental constitutional right to privacy, opening the door to big government to police the intimate details of our personal lives, unquote. Representative Rubel is joining us live now. And Representative, we want to welcome you back to the program.
I always love being on your show, Gemma.
So tell us what this ruling means for Idaho. We discussed this with Professor Shakira Sanders briefly in our last segment, but we are one of 13 states that have what are called abortion trigger laws. So what does that really mean, and when does this law go into effect?
What this means for Idaho, well, I think there are many layers of what this means for Idaho. Mm-hmm. Most imminently, what it means is that within 30 days, there will not be safe legal abortion available in Idaho. There are trigger laws on the books that will basically shut down all abortion access in Idaho within 30 days. And those are triggered by the overturning of Roe. And they have very limited, we actually have two trigger laws on the books. The legislature passed one in 2020 and one in 2021. They basically don't even have an exception for the health of the mother. You have to actually prove that the mother would die in order to fall under the life of the mother exception, but there is no health of the mother exception. So a woman can be expected to endure pretty major health trauma without actually qualifying for an abortion in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And very, very limited rape exception as well, where you have to have, you know, a verified police report, et cetera, which many rape victims don't have for one reason or another. So it basically means, you know, 30 days from now, any woman seeking an abortion is going to have to go to a neighboring state. Now, I think the implications are maybe broader than that, though, because If you read that Thomas concurrence, they're saying there's no constitutional right to privacy, period. And that constitutional right to privacy is the underpinning of everything. I mean, that's the Ninth Amendment basis under which they struck down bans on interracial marriage and same-sex marriage and homosexuality and bans on contraception and all kinds of things have all been struck down under this broader principle that there's a constitutional right to privacy, whereby legislatures, you know, can't control what you do in your most private and personal moments and your private relationships and in your bedroom. They're saying basically there is no such right to privacy, and the only rights you have in your personal life are the rights that your state legislature is willing to give you, which in Idaho is not much. We have seen a legislature that is very eager to reach into your bedroom, reach into your private life, tell you everything, tell you who you can marry, tell you what medical care you can have, tell you what books your kids can read. So I think the Pandora's box is particularly alarming in Idaho.
Let's talk a little bit more about this, because as you mentioned, there was a concurring opinion this morning from Justice Clarence Thomas, and he wrote that the court should reconsider rulings on contraception, on same-sex marriage and same-sex relationships. I think it's worth noting, though, Representative, that he did not say on interracial marriage. That is because he is in an interracial marriage. So let's pick and choose what we should look into.
Yes, that was pretty hilarious. I mean, that was kind of the curtain being drawn back on the open politicization and frankly just capriciousness of the Supreme Court. And it's disturbing, because we all want to think that we live in this world of principles and where we can really count on particularly the Supreme Court to be above the fray and be operating on principle. And I thought that was actually kind of hilarious, where he said, you know, nope, nobody has any fundamental rights to privacy at all, except for interracial marriage, which is kind of funny since he himself is in an interracial marriage. And that apparently is the only fundamental right that he sees as being worthy of preservation.
Mm-hmm. But with this concurring opinion, I mean, there are many legal experts who say that by the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that this is just the beginning of other rights potentially being overturned with who is on the Supreme Court right now.
That's exactly right. And frankly, I would be concerned enough if the only thing we were looking at were loss of reproductive and abortion rights. But right. I do think the potential reach of this is so much further. Frankly, in Idaho, our legislature doesn't even need to come in to ban same-sex marriage. There is a ban on same-sex marriage in the Idaho Constitution that tragically was put in by voters about, I think in 2004 or so. And that the only reason that's not operative is because of the Supreme Court's Obergefell decision. So if Obergefell goes down, which logically it very well may, if there, you know, it hinges on the same fundamental right to privacy that the abortion rights hinge on. So if there is no fundamental right to privacy, it could really only be a matter of time till that's overturned. And really the next day, as I read it, same-sex marriage would be illegal in Idaho, even without legislative action due to our constitution. There's basically a trigger ban on same-sex marriage in Idaho. And we've heard, you know, Chairman Crane say he might be interested in maybe banning IUDs and the morning after pill. And, there's just an endless range of what I fear our very right-leaning legislature would like to ban now that the Supreme Court has opened the door.
And how much, in your opinion, is this today's ruling just the politicalization of the female body?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's been all this rhetoric about, oh, we want to save the babies. Let me tell you, abortion bans are the worst possible, most ineffective possible way to save babies. When you look, the United Nations has done studies on this. There's lots of studies out there. Abortion rates are actually highest in the places where abortion is banned. There is no correlation between restricting abortion and reducing abortion. If you want to, quote, save the babies, it's very clear the way to do it. Abortion rates are lowest in those European countries that have open access to contraception, that have good sex education, that have access to affordable childcare and affordable housing and affordable and livable wages. Really, the true way to reduce abortion, empirically speaking, is to make motherhood affordable and reduce unwanted pregnancies. And really here, our legislature has been fervently opposed to all of that, or at least GOP members of the legislature. They have blocked every attempt at contraception. They blocked Medicaid expansion, which would have given contraception to poor women across the state. They blocked six-month access to the pill. They want to reduce sex ed. They blocked affordable housing money. They blocked affordable childcare money. They blocked pre-K money. I mean, every piece of policy that would actually reduce abortion, they have opposed. The only thing they want to do is bring in government bans forcing women to carry unwanted pregnancies. But it's not what you would do if what you actually wanted to do was, you know, quote, save the babies. So there's another ideological project going on here that I think is more aligned with kind of going back to the 1950s and, keeping women in their place in the world, that I think is much more what's going on here than actually reducing abortions.
Well, let's remember women weren't even in the Constitution.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we're unfortunately rapidly reverting to that time.
Yeah. So with that said, it is a day where I think many people feel hopeless. And it is a day where, for many people, you never thought this would happen. This was something that has always been available in my lifetime. And to know now that it is not, I cannot wrap my head around it. And it doesn't seem real.
I was born I'm a little bit older than you. I was born at the end of 1972, but never in my conscious life have we not had this as a core fundamental right. And it's shocking. You know, you like to think the arc of history bends toward freedom or whatever. And right. It's jarring when it seems to bend away and that progress seems to be undone in such an overwhelming way as we're seeing today.
What was your truly first reaction when you heard this today?
Oh, it was gut-wrenching. And I hate to say this. I had a grandmother who passed away a year and a half ago, who was just one of my idols in this world, this great old feminist broad who was knocking doors and marching and working for women's rights all through the 60s, all through the 70s, 80s, 90s. And I guess in this horrible way, I'm just kind of grateful she's not here to see her life's work undone today. It's painful for those of us who are here to see it, but I'm not giving up at all. This can be fixed. We can get new Supreme Court justices someday. We can get new laws on the books. We can undo the bans in Idaho's law. We can get federal law guaranteeing these rights. So there's a lot that can still be done to, you know, concretely restore this right. But I do believe this is a right that belongs in the Constitution, and that is in the Constitution. It's just not being recognized by the Supreme Court. But I do think there is a fundamental right to privacy that transcends whatever a particular state legislature may choose to do.
What are you doing today to make not just your own personal voice heard, but for Idahoans who oppose this decision?
Well, at 1:30 today, I'm holding a press conference with various leaders of the Democratic Party to express our views on this and a real call to action. You know, a majority of Americans we know support reproductive rights, support abortion rights. This has been demonstrated poll after poll after poll nationwide. And I think, you know, maybe the Republicans are the dog that caught the car here. I think they were dancing in this interesting dance over all these years where they could bring these bans and make the base happy and, you know, make that, you know, super evangelical core or whoever within their base is pushing it, keep them happy. But know that, you know, it wasn't ever really going to happen because Roe v. Wade was out there. So they weren't really going to tick off that sleeping monster of the large majority of Americans who think abortion should be legal. And so a lot of those people weren't voting the issue. You know, they were voting other issues. They might be voting tax cuts or guns or something else and thinking, oh, I'm pro-choice, but I don't need to vote pro-choice because, you know, the Supreme Court's got my back on that. And those voters need to wake up. They got to vote this issue. If you believe that abortion should be safe and legal, the time has come to make that the issue that you vote.
I want to thank you for your time today. Appreciate your perspective on this. We've been talking with Idaho House Minority Leader Elena Rubel about the U.S. Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. And remember, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this decision? Leave us a voicemail on our Boise State Public Radio app. You can download it for free right now. Just go to your app store. Then all you do is open the app, click on the top box to record your thoughts.